with the 21st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Chop Robinson, linebacker, Penn State.
We're going to Miami!
They kept it simple.
This is a need, as Charles referenced, and this is a fastball off the edge in Chop Robinson. We saw it at the combine, how fast he was. He ran 4.48 at 254 pounds. We always talk about these Penn State guys. They're all explosive athletes. We see it every year in Indianapolis.
There's James Franklin in there.
And there he is.
All right, it was a late night, but it was a fun night because a lot of crazy things happened. As we say, happy Friday morning to everybody out there that stayed up. And, boy, you had a little bit of everything, South Florida, didn't you? Panthers looked great last night and now up 3-0 on Tampa Bay with that 5-3 win. That was Kachuk, the gang, Big Bob, everybody looked great. Reinhardt has another goal and good stuff there. We'll talk more about that. And you just heard what took place with the Miami Dolphins last night. So they stay with that 21st pick, and you'll hear from general manager Chris Greer a little bit later on. But said, hey, man, we had some people that were knocking on the door, wanted the pick, and I believe it because there were some late moves that were made we'll be telling you about, including Kansas City. Hey, Woody, is Kansas City kind of – I'm bouncing around here a little bit due to lack of sleep, but – Kansas City went speed again. They went from whatever that group was before to the fastest guy in the draft, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown together now in the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess that short passing game is going to be changing a little bit down the field, huh?
Yeah, it seems weird to see them working with their rival, the Bills, there and trading picks around. But I don't know, Joe, I can't get over what happened at the top of that thing. That's going to be – we're going to feel the impact of that for years to come in the league, man. That was really, really crazy stuff.
Well, I we're going to get it. That was the story last night, obviously, in South Florida. Everybody's curious to see. And I got no problem, by the way, just get that out of the way with the pass rush. It gives you a pretty good idea to me about everything. Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, whenever they get back, and you add Shaq Barrett, which is a really good pick of a guy that's only 31 that they're going to be in here, and he's made it real clear he's got a chip on his shoulder to show everybody he can still play. But getting this super freakish athlete, Chop Robinson, who can really go. If you probably saw the highlights if you watched last night. Didn't have a lot of sacks, but gets a lot of pressures. A big, strong dude that I'm sure they did their homework on because it sounded like the Dolphins weren't moving. They had made up their mind. They were getting another pass rusher can come in and play right away. And let's be honest, if this thing goes the way a lot of the media think it's going to go, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not trying to play one, Chop kind of comes in. Remember I told you he signs his contract and then he goes out there and they go, Chop, you and Shaq Barrett line up with the ones. That's where we are till Bradley and Jalen come back. So no problem there. I know there was a little disappointment on the offensive line, but it really didn't matter what the Dolphins did. People were going, why didn't we grab one of those offensive linemen and all that? That's a good. It doesn't have a lot of depth in there. I got to give it to my man Charles Davis because he hit it right before, and they're going back and forth and take this guy and take that guy, and ESPN's doing the same thing. Charles Davis says, hey, man, there's about ready to be a drop-off. What are we talking about? Let's get Chop Robinson here. And they did, like a minute later. It was just outstanding from our good buddy Charles Davis, who joins us here a lot. So the story last night, Woody hit it, man. Woody didn't want to wait on that one. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. First time ever. Goes back to the 83 class of six quarterbacks taken in the first round. I was shocked. And by the way, before we get to Bo Nix going 12th out of this whole talented first round of this draft and all the tackles and all the wide receivers that we're taking, we'll give you all the crazy numbers of this lopsided draft in a minute here. But six quarterbacks in the first. The one that got me is Michael Penix going to Atlanta.
I'm glad you brought that up. I had build up on that one, bro. That is the craziest pick I've ever seen.
So you just gave Kirk Cousins stupid money because we laughed that Kirk Cousins really is. It's not Aaron Rodgers, the smartest man in the NFL. It's Kirk Cousins, clearly. $100 million the next 2 years coming in to be the quarterback. So everybody's going in a day where, you know, we're not real patient at that position. Michael Penix is taking eighth, and so everybody's going, what the hell are they doing? You just gave Kirk Cousins all this money, and they go, well, Kirk Cousins is the next 2 years. Michael Penix is the future. So Michael Penix, short of an injury, and I know Kirk Cousins coming back from an Achilles injury, but he's got some time to kind of sit back and watch this whole thing, which is really weird when we're talking about a top 10 pick. If he stays healthy and Kirk Cousins plays the way we're kind of used to him playing, short of an injury, Penix will be watching a lot of football the next 2 years as a top 10 pick. That doesn't happen in today's game. Maybe 1 year you'll wait, going back to Mahomes. But two-year plan, man, looks like the old Green Bay Packers, right? You draft a guy and he sits for 3 or 4 years, and then they tell you, all right, now you're the guy, and
it's exactly like the Green Bay Packers, Joe. It's exactly like it because they didn't tell their starting quarterback that they were drafting a guy until the last second. How about, you know, the fact that Kirk Cousins has to come out, his agent has to release a statement. You see all the stuff. He's talking to reporters. He was blindsided by this. He didn't find out until they were on the clock. How do people, like, I don't understand how organizations can be this badly mismanaged.
Unless
you think Michael Penix is, like, you know, just unbelievable.
Well, you draft a mate, so you think
he's
a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but you just paid a guy. Like, you can't, yeah. I mean, you can't do that. You got to try to help the guy you have win. Like, you got to get him players that can help you win. You can't just draft his replacement.
Great point, and I wonder, so as soon as I saw this last night, it was like the first shot. Like, of all the things you're waiting for somebody to move up and take somebody, and I'm just going, wow, I didn't see the Atlanta Falcons one coming at all, and I wonder what all the other general managers are going, what in the hell are you doing in a play-now league? And then, by the way, the other one is, because that move, he becomes the fifth guy, two picks later, Denver takes Bo Nix, who a lot of people thought was going to go at the end of the first round or into the second round. He's a top 12 pick.
Yeah, it's a monster reach, it feels like, doesn't it? I think Penix is a monster reach. And
nobody had very many nice things on ESPN or NFL Network to say. I mean, they tried to be like, he's 24 years old. He's taken 9 million snaps.
Well, I think the real mystery is outside of those top two guys, Joe. I think everyone feels those top two guys are really proven, but these other guys are kind of a mystery. I mean, you got Mac Jones 2.0 in New England. I mean, Drake May, you know, strolls up there. Hell, he looks like Mac Jones. It's, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah, so they're going, all right, Drake May looks the most like Tom Brady. We whiffed on Mac. Let's see if this guy can be the guy. So,
best video of the night is the Falcons GM, and I don't know what he was saying, Joe, but he's talking to the owner in the draft room, and it looks like they're going back and forth a little bit. He's probably trying to explain to the owner how they just spent $100 million on a quarterback, and they just drafted his replacement.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Michael Penix signing bonus, I'm sure that was part of it. Like, you understand, like, these top 10 picks get a lot of signing bonus money.
Isn't it like you trade back in, like if you want, like the Dolphins pick, like, you know, you wait and you say, all right, if he's still on the board later in the round, maybe we trade back in and get him. But you don't reach as a top 10 pick.
I was almost waiting for Michael Penix, you know, like, yeah, I thought there was some catch to this. That's going to be a hard one. I don't know if you were more surprised by Michael Penix or Bo Nix going.
Bo Nix was surprising, but the Bo Nix thing seems like, I mean, that's just a reach because he was like the last quarterback on the board. Right, so if you really wanted a quarterback, I guess that's kind of where you had to go. But like the Penix thing screwed everything up for everyone. It actually helps teams like the Dolphins because it keeps, you know, more of their, you know, non-quarterbacks on the board. But
and you know it's crazy if you watch this thing last night, all the guys we've been talking about, like five picks in front, started going, but it was clear, and I do believe Chris Greer. I don't believe this is. I got to put the PR spin on this. I believe they had their mind made up that was the guy that Chris Greer wanted. And he said, you know, I'm guessing the head coach was aboard on this, you know, with this pick, but they were like, and everybody made it clear, like there's about after a few of these pass rushers, there's going to be a big drop off, and I don't know where Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are, and hopefully they're back before Omar keeps telling me they're going to be back in October. Hopefully they're back before that. But it kind of looks like that when you draft a guy, like, okay, they may one of them may not be. And the other thing coming off these injuries that we kind of forget about, a lot of times, and I've seen this with Achilles and the ACL, not everybody comes back the same way. Like, I've talked about Nick Needham is a great example. Like, Nick Needham just didn't get his quickness back to for where he was when he was one of the best slot corners coming off that injury. He just didn't get it back watching him physically. So everybody's different, you know, on how long it takes to get back to 100%, especially with two freakish athletes like Chubb and Jalen Phillips on the outside to get that quickness and everything that makes those guys potential double-digit guys every time they're playing in sacks. So the other story coming out, Woody, I don't know if you did the breakdown, but my God, we didn't have a defensive player taken until the 15th pick.
Yeah. It's an offensive league,
Latu
Joe.
Was the first guy, the UCLA edge rusher. But listen to this, 6 quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers, and 8 offensive tackles.
It's about scoring points and protecting those quarterbacks, right?
Yeah. No. Hey, welcome to the new NFL. Yeah. Even if we have to reach on wide receivers, quarterbacks, even maybe an offensive of tackle. And by the way, I may be wrong on that because one of those offensive tackles may be moving to guard, but he was a tackle. But that's how it went down. Listen to this one too. 1 guard, which by the way is one of those tackles. 1 center. Who, by the way, is a kid from Duke, and 1 defensive tackle and 1 tight end, and then 3 positions got shut out. Woody, running back position, no surprise. Safety position, really no surprise. A lot of people thought there wouldn't be a safety go today. Today it's going to be a busy day for safeties and linebackers. Not outside edge rushers, linebackers that can play inside. So, really interesting. 23 offensive players, 9 defensive players, none taken in the first 14 picks. There was nobody they said, that's an impact defensive guy. We got to have him. They waited. So, a lot of craziness, man, the way this goes down. And I got to tell you, a lot of mock draft guys are pretty good. I'm not saying they hit on all their picks, but I thought this was one of the best years for the insiders to have a good feel, not perfect, but really good on the weak positions, the strong positions, pretty good idea where guys were going, right, to start the draft. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. I think most people, although that thing went up and down a little bit to kind of, you know, potentially somebody could go, but that was kind of the order. I think Marvin Harrison, although he got bad-mouthed a lot and said everybody said Malik Nabers should be the first guy taken.
They did say a lot of that last night, by the way. And they did that with the first pick, too, with the Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, trying to see how Jaden Daniels could be better. And trying to add a little intrigue, I guess, to that pick, but that wasn't happening.
But and then Joe Alt up there, the big Notre Dame tackle, was a guy everybody thought was, you know, going to go pretty high in this thing. And then the quarterback thing just kind of shook everything out back. Hey, by the way, quietly, did you see what happened before the draft? I mean, it just kind of got snuck in an hour or two before the draft. A.J. Brown, Eagles wide receiver, 3-year, $96 million extension. How about that? I mean, you can't make – we got a lot of time, $84 million guarantee. We got a whole new world, man. There got to be a lot of teams going, holy crap, the money. Now all the top guys are getting $30-plus million a year. Even in guaranteed money, you start talking for A.J. Brown, high 20s in guaranteed money for 3 years. It's crazy.
I don't know where you
things.
Rank him, Joe, but he's a hell of a player.
A.J. Brown's really good. Now he got a little frustrated in the system. He He was a guy leaving the locker room a little early at times with the frustration. But, yeah, no, they got Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. For everybody says you can't sign your top receivers, they go, yeah, you can. We just did it. Hey, we got to go to break. We got so much stuff to get to, including opening ceremony. Man, I thought the NFL hit a jackpot. Roger Goodell was pretty smart. Who said the NFL doesn't start in Detroit anymore? I thought that was spectacular. We'll tell you more about that. We got a lot more on Chop Robinson, the Miami Dolphins first-round pick. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
Chop was someone that we identified and thought he might be there. And, you know, if he wasn't, there were other players we liked there as well. So, but he was our targeted player. So for us, I guess, you know, we're very excited to have him. His testing numbers are elite, you know, and you see all the tools, the things he can do. But, you know, is he a finished product? No. And I think he'd probably admit that to you as well. And not many players come into the league are. So we think he has, obviously, the get off and speed that everyone talks about is, it was kind of rare. His athletic tools. So I think, again, for us, he still has a runway to keep improving. But the fact that the guy works hard and has a tremendous motor and toughness to him, is, which gives us really excitement to think that he'll reach his peak of ability that we think he can hit.
How close were you to making a trade?
We were active on the phones, I'll just say that. So I don't know how close we got, but we were active probably through the back end of the draft.
Board fall that you guys had set up to what actually happened in round one?
That was pretty close. Yeah. We were sitting there, yeah. So there were a couple players at the end we were excited for, and so we were active even trying to get back in to get another one here in the late first.
So Chris Greer, general manager of the Miami Dolphins. I love the pick. I do. And by the way, I mean, and it's going to get critiqued, and it's going to be under a microscope, obviously, because he's a first-round pick. But outside of not putting up big sack numbers, if you can look up some of – they're all highlights, and, of course, you're not going to see lowlights. You can see highlights. He's one fast dude, man. 4.48 and a 40. I mean, he can go, and he blows things up, and he is a physical freak that got – obviously, they did their background check on him to make sure, you know, the Deion Jordan thing was kind of a wake-up call, not to bring that up, but, like, you know, you got to make sure things are working from the shoulders up as well. And I know everybody felt good about that. So good stuff. And listen, I always say this after the draft, and not trying to be a down on anybody because everybody's going to do the same thing. Do you think any of the 32 teams that had to talk to their local media last night after the draft and after their picks, do you think anybody was going, you know, we like five friggin' guys, and all five of them were taken ahead of us. The five top guys we had on our board, and they're all gone. So we had to get somebody else. I mean, we like, but not like the other guys. No, so it's, you know, and I'm sure, by the way, I do agree with Chris. There are a lot of teams calling. Problem is, Chris didn't get what he wanted. And a combination of really liking Chop Robinson. And thinking, hey, man, he's going to have to play some football. Don't think Chop Robinson, if all these reports are right, and I'm guessing Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are going to miss some time in the drills that are full speed and the preseason, which they weren't going to play much anyway. Chop Robinson, they're like, hey, we got to get Chop ready to go. We know Shaq's ready to go. He's a veteran guy, 31 years old, been around, knows what it takes. But boy, they spent some money. That position, understanding, and I always say this, what happened to us at the end of the year, I could hear Chris Greer up there with his staff going, this will never happen again, where we're going to have all our guys hurt and have to friggin' call guys that used to be great players in their mid-30s that were sitting at home with their families thinking they weren't going to get a phone call and have to suit them up the last couple of weeks, especially the playoff game. They're going to make sure they're not stuck in that situation a lot. It's just weird. Listen, they had something happen that doesn't happen a lot. And it's not an excuse. They lost their top four guys at a position as edge rushers, all four of them. Four guys. And the fourth guy wasn't even a proven guy, but, you know, and they were dropping. So, that's where they are, man. And honestly, it was one of the three positions. I didn't know what they're going to do with defensive tackle. If that had a chance, because it's a little thin. And then the offensive line, I think a lot of people, including all those guys last night, thought there was a good chance that they were going to go for one of those guys and get him. A couple guys went before, but I do agree, man. I like, all right, Chop Robinson. Didn't know a lot about him. We talked about the other three guys taken in front of him a lot, but they sound like they really, really liked him. Today, we go at it again, man. 55th pick in this round, and I'm guessing, I'm not saying it's slam dunk, but there's a good chance they get a safety or they get an offensive lineman, a flexible offensive lineman they think can play. And I still think we're super thin at safety, so would not be surprised with a bunch of safeties being taken here in the second round because none went in the first round yesterday. So crazy, crazy. And 305-567-0560. Yeah, I'm always curious with what everybody thought about the draft. And, of course, the shakeup really had to do with the last two quarterbacks and where they were taken and why they were taken, considering one team, like the Atlanta Falcons, paid so much money for Kirk Cousins in the offseason to get Michael Penix, the Washington quarterback, with that eighth pick. And then with that, by the way, after that was taken, everybody goes, oh, boy, Bo Nix is going with Denver or Las Vegas. And sure enough, Denver jumped up there and took Bo Nix. And you could tell some of the folks covering the draft last night didn't think much of him. That's kind of what I got when they were saying nice things, but, you know, a project 12th pick. You can't be taking projects with the 12th pick, by the way. That's not necessarily getting ready for success when I hear those comments. So it was a wild one, man. It was a wild one. And then, by the way, you got to mention Kansas City. What did Kansas City do? They seem to have the formula right now around Mahomes. And we're wondering about Xavier Worthy, where he was going to go. And he goes to Kansas City. Kansas City moves up a couple of picks to get him at 28. So if you're watching, they quietly got Hollywood Brown, another speedster, and Xavier Worthy. Now, Woody, the question I have, is this all done because they don't know if they're going to have their number one wide receiver because he played dumbass this offseason? Or are they planning on having all three of those guys, including two of the fastest receivers on the outside? That's going to be an interesting one to see what happens. But, boy, they didn't mess around. They went out and got another wide receiver with that late run of wide receivers in the first round last night. By the way, if you're keeping track and just joining us this morning, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. That's a new NFL record, tying the 83 team of six quarterbacks that went in the first, what was Dan Marino, 27th pick, Woody? God, I always forget, 27, what? Second to the last, because we went to Super Bowl and lost, so whatever that pick was. And then seven wide receivers, like I said, a lot of them going late in the draft, and eight offensive tackles taken in the draft, which, by the way, a lot of people thought that was going to happen, and a lot of teams need to protect those quarterbacks, especially if you're trying to figure out if you have a franchise quarterback or not. We got to get all caught up here, though. We have a lot of stuff to get to. We'll have more on the Miami Dolphins and their pick. By the way, real quickly, so I don't tease you too much, how'd you like the open of the show? And by the way, have you ever seen, ever, a bigger crowd for that draft party than what they had in Detroit? Woody, I asked you this morning, how friggin' big was that crowd? That it had to be, was 100, 150? What?
They were saying 200 and change, man. 275 is what I saw.
They said there were 275,000 at that thing.
Insane amount of people. I saw there was some Dolphin fan that was tweeting out last night that they left in the afternoon and couldn't get back in. They said they stopped letting people in.
275,000 people. Now, a lot of them were locals because they're a little juiced up about the Lions right now, and they should be. They're back in the game as one of the better teams in, in football. But think about how many people traveled to that to watch that draft. That's a whole different level. I personally wouldn't do it, but there's a lot of hardcore fans that go, hey, honey, hey, bud, you want to do this? Let's go to the NFL draft in Detroit. 275,000.
I mean, I just don't get, I don't know what you get out of standing in that mass of people. It's kind of like the New Year's Eve in Times Square thing. Like, I don't, you know.
That was crazy, Woody. And by the way, the commissioner, smart move, comes out with Eminem after doing the commercials with him.
I know you're a big Eminem fan.
I actually do like his stuff.
Yeah. Who doesn't, bro? Eminem's the
Barry
best.
Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, good to see them back. They were having trouble with the organization. I think the head coaches had a lot to do with getting those guys back. And, hey, two of the great Detroit Lions players of all time. Hell, two great players, period. And then having a couple of the players from the team come out as well. It was great, man. It's a great way to start. And the commissioner, no tie last night, did they have the extra button down? I think he opened it up last night. The commish trying to get cool on us. Roger Goodell still got booed, but
he seemed bothered by the boos last night. Did you notice that?
He did seem bothered by the boos. That's a great observation. He did seem like, wow.
He hit him with a come on, guys. Like, yeah, it looked like he was a little bummed out.
He had like all the stuff with Eminem getting him jacked up, and then here comes Barry and Calvin and some of the players from the team.
Not a good move, though, to show that it bothers you if you're the commissioner.
But you could see he was like, okay, I put up with this every year. Why are you pissed off at me? I give you this great party. I bring out your all-time greats from the Lions, including some of the best players on the team right now. God, Woody, I wrote that down and said he looked a little rattled when he got booed. When it finally got to him, it looked like he – does he not realize – does every commissioner or does Adam Silver get the hall pass now with the fans, or do they all still get booed? Because the other three guys get booed.
Yeah, baseball and hockey definitely get booed. I don't know about Adam Silver. I don't think people dislike him. But I don't know how many people truly dislike Goodell. It's just a fun thing to do to boo the commissioner.
Yeah, no, I think that's what most of it is. It's like, oh, everybody boos this guy, so let's boo him. $60 million a year, let's boo him. But it was like, really?
That's what you do. You boo the commissioner.
Can't just cheer for me one friggin' time? All right, hey,
we
got to
do that
at
our fantasy draft, by the way. When the commissioner comes up to welcome us to the draft, we boo him too. It's just a tradition. You boo the commissioner.
That's the way it goes, man. All right, hey, we got to go to break. We got a lot of stuff to get to, and we'll hear from Chris Greer more if you missed it, talking about his pick and other things, and looking forward to today as well as the Miami Dolphins. We'll be players here on a Friday with a second-round pick. So we'll talk potentially about what that could end up looking like later on in the show. And by the way, the Panthers, man, no letdown last night. 5-3 win for them, up 3-0 against Tampa Bay. And, of course, Miami Heat coming back home feeling a whole lot better after getting that first win. And, by the way, the NBA games were great last night, too. Yeah, it was crazy, man. If you're a junkie, you are going crazy. Don't say gambling, no, Woody, but I do want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic this morning. Never too early in the morning. Because one thing about it, whether it was a late night or not, the old guys are up this morning. We're up and ready to go. So good morning to all my brothers out there. Atlantic Men's Clinic, I'm just going to tell you, it's a Friday. I always call it Atlantic Men's Clinic Friday. ED and low T if you're dealing with it, meaning you're always tired. You'll notice you started getting moody and that somebody called you a grumpy old man. I've had that happen. You're gaining weight, and you're not working out and being active like you used to. I want to let you know you probably have low T, and with that, you have ED. And that means your sex drive is gone. In case you don't want to admit it, you don't. That's not something guys go around talking when it's shaking people's hands going, hey, I've got ED and low T. Well, I just want to tell you I've got great news this morning because 7 months ago I got rid of mine, and since then I've been preaching to the world. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%, and I want you to schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic today. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a Florida licensed medical provider, Tina PSA test, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. They're ready to help you. hey, it happens to men in their 40s, 50s, 60s. I go in there and I see guys young, man, and I'm going, wow. I mean, you know why we're all in there. Some guys talk to each other. Some don't. Some will go, hey, I'm here because of you, Joe. Thank you for having a big mouth and being so open. Hey, I want to let you know, 6 locations throughout South Florida. I go to that one in Plantation. Call them today, 877-455-7300. Unbelievable results. Visit AtlanticMensClinic.com today.
All scenarios are alive. You know, I think it's key to remember, man, that team, if they just had too many pass rushers, you know, that was their problem. That's never been said. So I think that's the common denominator is you know that you're adding to your team. You feel great about that. You let the players kind of set the orchestration of all the multiple things you can do. But I know our coordinator is not afraid outside the box. So, you know, he might be playing corner. Who knows?
All right. Mike McDaniel having a little bit of fun, I guess. But, yeah, they need depth at every position. And the pass rush is one of them. So it's not anybody thinks it's crazy. No, it's not. They got two frontline first-round picks that got injured, you know, not early in the year, later in the year with an Achilles and an ACL. And so they're going, you know, and to Mike, I think Mike was saying that, you know, we can play more than two guys at a time. We got a defense coordinator and get creative and do some different things with them and try to put together different packages. And if this guy who's got freakish athletic talent, if you've seen the highlights coming off the edge, I mean, you run a 4.48 at 250 pounds. That's getting after it. So, and we got other needs. Like, so today, don't be surprised with a second round pick if it's safety. Don't be surprised if it's an offensive lineman inside or outside or a combo. I guess wide receiver Woody probably comes into play. Although to me, it's still because of the two guys you have. It's not a number one priority, but yeah, they love to get another frontline wide receiver. So there's four or five defensive tackles still in play, I guess, unless it's as empty as everybody says. So yeah, you got to add depth to this team, but the guy that got drafted, make no mistake about it, he's going to play a lot of football. And you're going, well, how do you know? Well, I can just figure this thing out that he's going to play a lot. We got two guys coming off major injuries. He's going to play a lot, especially early in the year. Like, I think it's fair to say for that first game in September that he's not going to be standing on the sideline on a couple of special teams, and that's it. They're going to expect this guy to get his feet wet. I think all four guys play. All four guys play. Shaq Barrett's going to play a lot of football. He didn't come here to just stand in a corner either. And they'll rotate some guys in and work those guys back. And there's no way when they come back they're all of a sudden going to play 60 snaps. That just doesn't sound right. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff. We'll find out more. If you're just joining us, Chop Robinson, 6'3", 254 pounds out of Penn State. Fourth edge rusher taken in the draft. By the way, there's a late run. Well, there's a late run on defensive players. We didn't have a defensive player go till the 15th pick in the draft. The first 14 were all offensive players, led by that quarterback position. Craziest thing. And by the way, and I know we are desperate to find quarterbacks in the NFL. Could this be a franchise quarterback? Could this guy be a franchise quarterback? But 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. And believe it or not, to me, Bo Nix going 12th was a surprise. But the other surprise, Michael Penix, taken 8th by the Falcons. What? Wait a sec. Didn't they just sign Kirk Cousins? Including to a big contract, $100 million next 2 years. Team comes right out and says, oh, by the way, Kirk Cousins, our starter the next 2 years. And then the future is Michael Penix. So I wonder, wouldn't it be interesting to hear what Kirk Cousins, when he got that late call during their pick?
Well, we kind of did. I mean, his agent came out with a statement, you know. And
wouldn't you like to know what Kirk Cousins is thinking, though?
Yeah, he's probably pissed. This is the same thing they did there on Rodgers. They drafted his replacement without telling him.
Because he was screaming.
You got to do that, though, man. You have to be transparent with people. Like, you know, first of all, I don't know why you would sign a guy and give him that kind of money if you're planning on, you know, going younger anyway. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, man, you got to run this stuff by guys. You can't blindside them with that. Now, like, you know, what's the situation going to be up there, Joe? If Cousins struggles, are the fans going to go bonkers and boo him to get to the other guy?
Ooh, Woody, that's a good one, by the way. That is fair, especially.
We've seen those situations plenty of times where they boo, you know, they want the new guy, the backup, to come in there.
Michael Penix is kind of a hot name, right? I mean, he has been. There's a who, isn't Omar the one that says, man, Michael Penix is like, he's going to
like
be
him.
The. Well, he's going to be the best quarterback in
this
draft.
A lot of NFL people like them, so I don't know.
Yeah, eighth. By the way, you don't take somebody eighth if you don't think they can beat the franchise quarterback. Now, listen, it is an old school move if they're, you know, bringing in a guy and going, hey, you're the future, because that used to be the way things were. Like, even Dan Marino didn't start game one. You know, he had to wait for David Woodley to have some bad games, but pretty obvious it was going to happen. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes didn't play his first year. But, boy, I'll tell you what, man. Nowadays, they want to get that guy in real quickly. So
it just seems like the Cousins signing, Joe, and the amount of money that they gave him, it's like they felt like he was the guy to get them, you know, to the next level, at least for, you know, a handful of years. But, yeah, that's one of the strangest picks you'll ever see.
Well, and then the other part is the Bo Nix, who some people thought was going in the second round. And here he is, 12th overall pick, 6 quarterbacks and 12 picks.
He just feels like a bust, doesn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like everybody's all aboard on Bo Nix, who, by the way, put up great numbers in Oregon. He went from not very accurate and at Auburn to whatever that Oregon program was doing, because he started putting up, you know, some impressive highlights for sure. But
he
crazy,
feels
crazy
like he's
night.
Got a little bit of bust in him, Joe. And then the Patriots situation, the guy looks like Mac Jones.
So you're not buying the Drake May thing?
I don't know. Like, I can't get Mac Jones out of my head, because they look like they could be brothers.
So you think somebody, or are we going to hear somebody today said Drake May, Tom Brady, because like they did that with Mac Jones.
They did
remember?
Do that with Mac Jones, yes.
They did.
Yes.
And we're going to Drake May it now and tell him he's the next Tom Brady. Maybe they're going to realize that, like, the Tom Bradys just don't come along. Whatever you think of Tom Brady with his 90,000 yards and his 9,000 touchdowns and all his rings, that just doesn't happen.
So, you know what the biggest takeaway from the draft is, Joe?
Offense.
There are going to be some great boxes of cards to buy this season, man.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, Woody.
We're going to have a big-time rookie class, man. We'll be anxiously awaiting the 2024 cards to drop.
So give me the card that will be the hottest off, because a few years ago, Mac Jones, when we were doing this last time with the card store, and they were going, Mac Jones is hot. So who is it this year of that group?
So the Jaden Daniels thing is very intriguing, right? Because they show his film, and he played at that is a high-level, you know, that LSU thing is a high-level program playing against really good talent.
Can it just be Caleb Williams? He's a number one pick.
You would think they set him up for success, Joe. They took a receiver.
But that,
they brought in receivers.
Isn't that a hot card for the fathers and sons and grandsons that everybody that collects cards? Which card do you think, when we're talking about this and you go out, which card will be the hottest of that group?
Well, you know, it's funny. You go to last year's cards, and it's like Bryce Young was obviously the first pick, but then C.J. Stroud.
You can get that card for about 5 cents.
But C.J. Stroud ends up being the best one. I don't know who's going to be the best of this class, Joe. The funny thing is Penix may not play for 2 years. Kirk Cousins gets hurt.
If Kirk Cousins plays well, and that money will –
Even if he doesn't play well, you can't pull a guy after you give him $100 million.
Woody, the owner had to sign off on that. There is no way. Huh? Oh, that owner for sure signed off on that. Woody, to draft a give a free agent quarterback that kind of money and then turn around and draft a guy eighth overall, you better sell. And by the way, that's one of the more hands-on owners. I'm not saying he's picking players, but he was standing right there like, what are we doing? Hey, we got to go to break here, Woody. Jeez, this thing's sneaking up on us here this morning.
You're all right. You got a lot of draft buildup.
I
don't know about you, but I had multiple screens going last night, man. I had to put the draft on the iPad. I had the Knicks game on. That was a very exciting game.
By the way, Joel Embiid came out and said, we will win this series, and we're going to – what a game. I mean, you talk about 50-point game for one-leg Joel Embiid. Just a crazy, crazy game last night. By the way, Lakers lose again, and they're already looking forward to next year, trying to figure out what they're going to do, and will that coach be around after now they're down 3-0 to Denver. And we got all kinds of stuff. That Panther win last night was impressive. 5-3 win. Tkachuk, a couple of goals, empty netter at the end of the game. And they got a chance to wrap it up in Tampa Bay, man. Not have to worry about a game five down here. And so we got a lot of stuff going on here. So we'll take a quick break. But before we do, I want to take some time this morning to talk about something that nobody wants to talk about, sports-related injuries. They suck. But I will tell you, man, it is nice when you have somebody really good, like one of the top sports medicine programs in the country right here in our backyard. You know, I talk about Baptist Health South Florida, and they got a lot of hospitals. They got a lot of doctors. They do a lot of great things. But, boy, when it comes to sports, people ask me all the time, where do the pros go? And I go, well, Inter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, Miami Dolphins all use their team doctors, all Baptist Health guys. And the nice thing is those team doctors can call those specialists when they have a problem with the knee, the shoulder, the foot and ankle, the hand, back, hip and knee replacement, even Achilles. And they've got specialists for every injury out there. That's what they do, man. And it's nice to know that I'm talking about this, knowing you're going to be able to see those same doctors or work on high school, college, and professional athletes every day with three great locations, Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, obviously at Hard Rock Stadium next to the practice facility, and the newer facility at 595 and Pine Island in Plantation. We get spoiled. They're doing it all, man. Great doctors covering all of South Florida for you to have great results and get you healthy, playing the sports you love the most, you and your family. Just visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho today.